Being a little kid is a scary point in your life, yet you're too young and innocent to even realize it. I have a horrible memory from my early childhood that I wish I could simply block out completely, but I just can't. I was, I believe, 6 or 7 years old. I was at the summer rec program that my parents had signed me up for. I was in the 6 and 7 year olds group, the youngest group at the camp. One day our group was at the playground, and some oldish man sitting on a bench started talking to me. He knew my name. I remember feeling very comfortable with him, like he seemed kind. He gave me a candy that I ate on the spot, and he offered to push me on the swing. I think I told him that's alright and continued talking to him, asking him dumb little kid questions. He introduced himself as Robbie, I still remember to the day, and told me he was friends with my mom, and since she was running late, he'd have to pick me up after camp. I said okay, and around that time, my counselors shouted for our group to assemble our line by the gate so we could leave. We got back to our group's home area, where we would sit and wait for the parents to come pick the kids up. I saw Robbie approaching the bench, and he said to Cal, one of my counselors, that he was picking me up for the day since my mom wasn't available. Cal looked at me and made sure I knew him. I nodded my head. Cal crossed my name off in his notebook and high-fived me goodbye, and I walked off with this Robbie guy. I remember he grabbed and held my hand as we walked, and I also remember that he was walking extremely fast, like it was hard for me to keep up with my short little legs. We made it to his car. He let me in the back passenger seat. He seemed to be in a hurry. He rushed into his seat, started the car, locked the doors, and started driving fast out of the parking lot. I asked, "Are you taking me home?" "Yeah," he replied. I remember hearing some yelling noises from outside the car. I lifted myself off the seat to look out the rear window and saw two of my counselors pointing at the car I was in to one of the park supervisors. This is when things got scary for my little self. As I was looking out the back window, the man screamed at the top of his lungs to get the fuck down. I got so scared I started to cry and tried opening the door when he was at a red light, but he had the child lock on. He tried to calm me down by apologizing, saying he was driving me home. I can't remember what exactly I was thinking, but I do remember being scared, starting to wonder if I was actually being brought home. We were in the car for quite some time, and I started to realize I didn't recognize where we were. We were not anywhere near my house. I felt like I had to throw up from being so scared. I remember Robbie muttering, oh shit, constantly under his breath, and he kept looking in his rearview mirror. Then, the sound of a police siren directly behind us made him scream in anger once more. He pulled to the side on a neighborhood road and told me to go along with whatever he said. But he didn't have a chance for that. Two police officers stormed out from the car with their guns half-drawn and yelled at Robbie to step out of the vehicle with his hands up. He did so without question and was cuffed while they had him laying face first on the concrete. He was brought into the car while the other officer stuck with me, comforted me, and asked me questions. Another cop car arrived, and so did my mom in her minivan. She was in tears and hugged me when she got out. So backing up, when Robbie, or whatever his real name was walking me to his car, my mom had already gotten to the bench to pick me up, when Cal told her some man already picked me up. That's when they ran to catch what car we got into and called the cops right away. One of the camp supervisors was actually tailing us on the road, which is why Cal was panicking and how the cops were able to locate us. Now you can see why I wish I could block this memory out. It's disturbing, it's sickening, and I often have to think about the horrible, unimaginable things that could have been done to me if I had not been saved. There was this one night after work where all the employees at my job clocked out a little late because we happened to be extremely busy that night. As usual, we cleaned the store and headed for the front to clock out. That night after work, I would be hanging with two of my coworkers. We smoked a blunt and went to Wingstop. All was well, and 1 a.m. finally struck. I needed to be home and I needed gas. I said bye to my two coworkers and headed for the nearest gas station. It was actually right around the corner from my work. Thank God, because I had gone to work with it running on E. My car was running on fumes. Although being the closest gas station, I avoid this one for many reasons, as do many other people, especially at this time of night. There's often homeless drug addicts walking through it. Many people hit cars and drive off, fights, people scream in the cars. It just manages to attract the wrong people. So as I'm pulling up to the pump, the high officially leaves. I come to realize that I'm about to pump gas at a cornered gas station hidden by buildings at 1 o'clock in the morning. No car, no person was seen in sight. I got out and turned around to reach inside for my wallet. I come up, and there's this homeless man going through the trash with this very large white bag. I'm not talking about Big Hefty that promises to keep all your household trash intact all the way to the outside trash can. I mean, this bag was freakishly big, and I couldn't see through it. I was startled at first, as I didn't even hear him walking or anything. I insert my card and look over. His head is in the trash at this point. I see him digging for recyclables, I think, and I just continue trying to get the thing to take my card. To be safe again, I make sure I lock my car once more, and this is where things get scary. As the sound of the car goes off, this man perks his head up, almost deer-like, and makes direct eye contact. He looks to be at least 6'4", but really skinny. He had injection marks all over his body, and his skin was peeling, rashing, and he had a buzz cut. Despite him obviously being a drug addict, his face wasn't affected too badly yet. "Look, they gave me a bag big enough to fit a dead body in." The words didn't seem real. I felt the color leave my body. And just then, this man picks up an old, metal, little kid's bike from the other side of the trash can. He begins to slowly, step by step, come closer, and begins telling me he wasn't going to take me. He held the kid's bike like it was weightless. Mind you, I'm a girl and personally have no arm strength. "I'm not going to take you. We're not going to take you. Don't look scared, look pretty." At this point, I was already inching my way closer to my car. I jumped for it, and that's when I booked it out of there, and realized there was another man hiding at the pump behind me. The other man was wearing a mask that covered both his mouth and nose. So much could have happened that night, and I'm glad it didn't go the other way. I'm pretty sure that man was going to come up from behind me and either make me smell something to leave me unconscious or who knows what. Please be safe out there, and always be prepared for the unexpected. When I was 10, my uncle used to own a property in Kentucky, which was not too far of a drive from our home in Virginia. He was an avid hunter, so his place was in the middle of the woods, a perfect hunting area. He let my dad take us there when he wasn't using it, just as a nice little escape from the suburbs, because we all loved the secludedness. I would love to go on hikes in the woods by myself, because I've always been a nature freak. One time while hiking late in the day, I thought I heard footsteps around me. They sounded like human footsteps, so I turned and started walking the other way. At the edge of the woods, however, I saw someone standing behind a tree, very shady-like. Seemed he was trying to hide. I ran back in the direction of the property and went inside the house. I told my dad I was being watched in the woods. He told me to just stay on my uncle's property and not wander off. I didn't want to go back outside after that anyway, though. My dad and two little brothers went off to pick up a pie at a nearby pizza place. I stayed behind because I'd rather watch the movie that was playing on the TV. I'd been alone in that home many times. I wasn't scared. I heard steps coming up the little wooden front porch. There was a knock at the door, so I jumped up to let them in because I was starving. But I froze at the door, thinking, how could they be back so quickly? "Dad?" I said through the door. Someone on the other side said, "It's not your dad, but we need some help." My heart dropped. I looked out the window to the porch. It was still just bright enough to see an unfamiliar man standing on the porch. He noticed me at the window, looked at me, and smiled. I shut the curtains and yelled, "Dad, there's someone here at the front door." I was pretending as if my dad were still home. "We saw your dad leave just before. Just open the door, we just need some help." I ran to my uncle's master bedroom to hide there. There was a tap at his window, and I saw a second man outside. He also yelled, "Open the door, please." I heard kicks at the front door of the home. It was a very flimsy old wooden door, and it gave in easily. I panicked and went to my uncle's closet where he kept his guns. I grabbed his shotgun, which he taught me how to use, and as the door to the bedroom opened, I aimed the gun at the tall man's torso. He raised his hands and nervously laughed, telling me to calm down. He backed away, back to the front door with his hands still raised, and he said, "We're gonna leave, okay?" The two men walked away into the woods, no car in sight. My dad soon returned to see the broken-in door, and I explained everything. He called the cops, who stayed with us while my dad did his best to fix up the door. My uncle installed cameras and a stronger door the next time he drove in there, and he sold the place a few years later. The following story takes place on one of the worst days of my life. My crazy ex-girlfriend and I had just broken up after having a screaming match in her car. She basically told me where I could shove it, and left me in the rain in some parking lot of an abandoned office supply store. It was way too late in the night to call either of my parents to pick me up, and of course my sister was in a different state, so I tried calling an Uber as I walked out of the lot towards the street. I swear, adding to my misfortune, every single Uber canceled on me, one after the other. It got to the point I wanted to cry out loud and scream. I was a 15-minute walk from home. I figured to hell with it, I'd walk it. But shortly into my walk, an SUV pulled up to me. Three guys were inside. They seemed around 30. The guy in the back said, "Yo man, you need a ride?" I figured, why not? What did I have to lose at that point? It beats walking in the rain. I hopped in the open seat in the back and thanked all of them. I gave the driver my address, and he started on his way to my house. I tried making conversation by talking about how I just broke up with my ex, tried to make light of it, but they didn't respond in the way I was hoping. The guy in the front passenger seat turned to look at me. I looked back for a second, expected him to laugh or say something, but he just looked at me with this blank, emotionless expression, his eyebrows slightly raised, mouth hanging open as if he were trying to intimidate me. I looked away, out the window, though I could still sense him looking at me through my peripheral vision. The GPS voice said turn right on the next road, but the driver turned left. Uh-oh. "Yo, I think you went the wrong way," I said to the driver. The guy sitting right next to me said, nah, chill man. The lack of communication in this car was really adding to the building tension. I noticed we were entering quieter, if not dead streets with few houses or buildings nearby. I was scared to say what I said next, because I knew if they didn't acknowledge it or listen to it, it meant I was in a bad situation. I asked the driver to just drop me off on the side, I'd walk. And his response was just laughter. The guy in the front passenger seat joined him in laughing. The sound of the doors locking as the car was coming to a stop was the moment I knew. I knew I had to run. I flicked the freshly locked switch back up and pushed the door open. The guy sitting next to me started yelling, "Get him!" as I felt his hands try to grip my arm. I got out from the car though, and I ran into the adjacent patch of trees which sat next to the parkway. I bolted across the parkway, and yes, there were still cars speeding by at this hour. I almost risked my life passing that parkway just to escape those goons. I'm not sure if they were just trying to rob me, kidnap me, or what, but I feel like if they were trying to just rob me, they could have done that anywhere and driven off. But they didn't. And that's what scares me to think about.